From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Talking to Bobbi Brown is really funny because she has built herself into an amazing entrepreneur. She has literally changed an industry. Her name is well known worldwide. But you ask her for like strategy and how she does things, and she almost like waves it away. To her, business is simple.
Just do it. Everyone just wants to talk about doing it and plan and strategize, but people are forgetting you actually got to do it.
Less talking, more doing. Fewer meetings, more doing. That is basically her message. That is her approach to business. And of course, if you don't know Bobbi Brown, she started with a simple line of lipsticks and it blossomed into a billion-dollar company called Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, which was eventually acquired by Estee Lauder. And I wanted to know, what does someone like this do next? Because she actually left her company in 2016 with no plans for what was coming. She just knew she was done with corporate life. And, you know, today she does a lot of doing, a lot of doing. For example, right now she has a supplements line for Walmart called Evolution 18, an editorial site called Just Bobbi, a boutique hotel called George, and a new podcast, Long Story Short, and a film and photo studio called 18 Label. And apparently there is more to come. So like I said, this is someone who does a lot of doing. But is it that simple? I mean, it can't be that simple, right? You don't just go out and do. You gotta know what to do. You gotta know where to do it. You gotta know who to do it with. And so I wanted to know from Bobbi, what is the essence of doing? What is the thing that drives her and that she thinks can drive everyone else? So I called her up. It is Bobbi Brown's No BS, All D-O, you know, see what I did there, guide to business, and we're going to get into it all right after the break. You know what I hate? Hiring. I mean, I should love it. Bringing in fresh ideas and new minds, so great, except actually finding those people can be such a hassle. It takes time to hire, and that's time you don't have when you're growing your business. You need to reach the right candidates at the right time, and that is where LinkedIn comes in. Over 600 million members visit LinkedIn to make connections, learn, and grow as professionals, and to discover new job opportunities. That's how they make sure your job gets posted in front of the people with the right skills, hard skills, and soft skills to meet your role requirements. LinkedIn does the legwork to match you with the most qualified candidates so you can focus on hiring the person who will transform your business. And I especially love how much it costs. You pay only when a candidate views your job post. Tell LinkedIn how much you want to spend, and it'll even give you an estimate of how many applicants you can expect to receive. Yes, with LinkedIn Jobs, you can pay what you want. And the first $50 is on them. Just visit linkedin.com/problem solvers. Again, that's linkedin.com/problem solvers to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we're back. So I had originally talked to Bobbi for an interview that we ran in the September issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. So you can go find it there. But this is the extended cut. So I wanted to start by asking Bobbi, you know, she started her career in a time before personal branding existed as a concept and as a phrase. But of course, she has done an amazing job of being a personal brand. And I wondered, as she had started to approach her business and get her name out there, did she think at all in terms that today we might recognize as personal branding?
Not even a little bit. I never, ever thought about creating a brand. I didn't know what a brand was back then. I was a makeup artist, and I'd certainly never wanted to make myself famous. I never wanted to make myself powerful. I certainly never wanted to make myself corporate.
See, like I told you, no BS, all DO. And sorry for the audio quality. We were talking on Skype and it was a bad connection, and occasionally it would kind of fizzle out a little bit, but it's not too bad.
I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. I just wanted to make something that was better than what was on the market. And I did, and I got really excited about it. And that's basically as simple as I am.
Was there a time, though, that you started to think about who you were to other people? Because your name means a lot, obviously. It is the name of companies. And so it represents something, and you are the steward of that. Had you ever thought strategically about it?
I mean, come on. You know what her answer is going to be, right?
No. The whole time while I was building my cosmetics company that we never called brands back then, I was newly married. Then I was a young mother. Then I was a mother of two. Then I was a mother of three. I was still a makeup artist. I was commuting from New York City to Montclair, New Jersey. And I just kept doing what I was doing. And one day, I guess it hit me. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I mean, the first time it really hit me is when we sold our company after 4 years. I'm like, oh, cool. And no, I never really stopped and said, wow, aren't I great? Aren't I fabulous? I'm not that guy.
So this is interesting, but also not all that surprising to me, because I ask a version of a question like this to a lot of people who have built tremendous names, who basically have succeeded in personal branding, but didn't think of it as personal branding. And I'm always like, did you approach this at all strategically? Did you think of yourself as a brand and position yourself as a brand and all that blah, blah, blah stuff that today we hear? And the answer is always no, which is so eye-opening, I think, for people who want to be in this position to realize that, yeah, fine, sometimes you can strategize your way up to it, but oftentimes the way to really do it is to not try to do it, to not just focus on selling yourself, but to focus on selling the thing that matters, which is the product that you make, which is the relationships that you're building, which is all the stuff that is really core to the business. And instead of just selling the face of the business. So anyway, I pointed that out to Bobby and she said, oh yeah, because all the time today, she hears from people who just want to know how to build a name.
And honestly, a lot of them come to me for advice. And the only advice I have is, okay, go home, just do it. Put your head down, figure out what it takes and just do it. And if it doesn't work, then do it, but do it a little bit differently. Just do it. Everyone just wants to talk about doing it and plan and strategize, but people are forgetting you actually got to do it. Like, I'm a doer. Even in this day, I am a doer.
Do you see non-doing happening when people come to you and ask for this advice?
I do. I'm giggling as you say this. I see it a lot. I see a lot of people who have somehow been, you know, I met somewhere, connected somehow, and they say, I want to start my own business. And I say, that's great. And there's no more conversation. Like, great. What is it? Well, I have an idea for a bra that doesn't jiggle. I'm like, okay, do you have a prototype? No, but I have funding. I'm like, dude, I don't care if you tape it together with scotch tape and pins. You need to have a prototype. And you need to know it's better than the other bras that everyone else makes. And that's with whatever product you are doing. It's got to be better than what's out there. Like I always say, I didn't invent lipstick. I reinvented it. I made it better.
Just going to break in quick to echo that. Yes, ideas don't matter. Execution matters. I've said that so many times. I literally have that written on a post-it note in my office because it is just so true. Everyone's got an idea. Everyone wants to reach out to me or Bobby Brown or whoever with their idea. And that's cool. Ideas are cool. But you know what actually matters? Execution. Go execute it.
Did anybody give you this advice at your start, or was this just an instinctual action?
No, the only advice I got at my start was someone that said, the world doesn't need another cosmetics company. You don't know what you're doing. That was the only advice I got. So I said, okay. And I just kept doing what I was doing, which was making a lipstick that didn't smell bad, making one that was actually the color of your lips, making one that wasn't dry or wasn't greasy, and just making one that I thought was better than anything on the market. And then I met a chemist at a shoot and I told him what I wanted and he made it for me. And I said, wow, people are going to love this. And he said, all right, I'll make it. You sell it. We'll sell it for $15. You get $7.50. I get $7.50. I said, deal. And that's how I started.
Interesting thought here. What that person said to Bobby Brown was, of course, totally condescending, but also there's a nugget of truth in there, isn't there? I mean, the world doesn't need another cosmetics company, doesn't need another any kind of company, which means that if you're going to create something, you have to really make the case for it. You have to make the case that what you are doing is adding something to the world rather than just duplicating.
You know, I mean, the world doesn't need another beverage company either, right? But if people can come up with something that's
better,
delivers a need, then suddenly the world wants another beverage company.
Right. But I never said, oh, I've got to show everyone how what I do is better than everyone else. I never had those strategy sessions with what the words should be. I just kind of was more authentic and organic. And looking back now, I see that being a makeup artist and working for the magazines where editors would say, Bobby, what's the color of the season? Bobby, how do I keep my lipstick on? Bobby, how do I teach, you know, and I would have to be the one that says, it's so simple, let me show you how. And the brand became the teaching brand. And I would always tell women, you know, it's about looking good. It's not just about how you look, it's about how you feel. And I would teach women about confidence. There was no strategy behind any of that. That was just organically me.
Well, it was organically you, but it was built off of an insight that you specifically had.
Not really. I mean, I just knew, not really. I just knew it worked. I would, when times were quiet, my freelance, you know, magazine work, you know, when I wasn't doing shoots and working for Vogue and all these fabulous things, I thought, well, to make some extra cash, let me go into a salon and do makeup for women. So I taught at Bergdorf Goodman Frederick Fekkai Salon, and I worked with moms and mothers and aunts and sisters, and I would teach them makeup, and they'd be like, oh my God, I love this. It's so simple. And as my brand grew and my career grew, it just was like common sense to me, where you wonder, where did I learn this from? I learned it from my Aunt Alice, who taught me how to be simple, and my Papa Sam, who was a car dealer and kind of figured out how to be the best salesperson he could be.
This reminds me of this thing that you said to the New York Times. Maybe you've said it elsewhere, but I saw it in the Times, which was that if you wrote a book of business advice, you'd just call it duh.
Yes.
Do you feel like at its heart, business is actually quite simple?
Yes. And I find people waste time, energy, and money on things that I don't think matter. And I've been in corporate situations where the amount of money that was spent on bringing in all those brilliant, I don't even know what they're called, the Bain and McKenzie people. I don't even know what they're
consultants.
Called.
Consultants.
The amount of consultants. And you have meeting after meeting and everyone's time. And then they come back and give you like an 8-month, what, this is what we discovered. And this is what we think you should do. To me, it was always a waste of time, energy, and money.
By the way, can we just let that sink in? Bobby Brown, creator of a billion-dollar company, cannot remember the word consultants. That is how meaningless consultants are to her. So then I was like, okay, Bobby, let's imagine you're a consultant. You know, a consultant that comes in and actually simplifies things and saves people time and money. I want you to walk into an imaginary business and just tell them to stop doing things. What do you tell them to stop doing?
Well, first of all, stop putting your head down in your computer at least once a day where you could actually raise your head, get some fresh air, and talk to people. So I find a lot of the younger generation, when someone is missing some notebook, instead of walking around looking for it, they'll send a mass email. Has anyone seen my notebook? And it could be sitting across the room. But I would tell people to, first of all, take a break and get some air in your brain, number one. And try to have one-on-one human contact with other people.
And also stop having so many meetings.
And stop having so many meetings. And honestly, sometimes just a discussion takes 2 seconds, and that's what the meeting's about. And the amount of time it takes to invite people, to make sure they RSVP, to know where the meeting is, to tell them, and you're actually could be on the phone. You could be on one of the many apps that you guys can have a discussion. It doesn't have to be like all planned out and time. And I personally would rather pick up the phone and have a discussion with someone than send emails back and forth, let alone texts.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of this, I'm going to guess, a lot of this is born out of your experience in the corporate world. So how do you approach things differently now than you did back then? You're like, you know, you have a bunch of different brands now all under one umbrella,
right?
But it's a really wide range of things.
It is. It is. And that's because I have no rules right now. And I have no one telling me I can't do something. I only have myself and my, you know, knowing what time it actually takes and what kind of a team. But the difference is when I first entered corporate America, I was so excited. I was like, so, wow, this is so cool. These meetings you hear about, these board meetings and these elevators you go up to and the fancy clothes and all these people and the pomp and the circumstance. And then you realize, like, I don't know what they're talking about because they're not really talking English. There's a lot of corporate speak. And I'm like, well, what you really mean is this. And I got tired of it after a few years. And now I just come in my shorts and my t-shirt and my ponytail after an exercise class and sit around with a bunch of like-minded people discussing what's happening, how we could fix things, what we could do better. And guess what? I pick up the phone sometimes and call someone. It could be a Sunday afternoon and say, what about this idea? I just saw so-and-so. We had this discussion and we talk about it and we go from there.
That must be very freeing.
Very freeing and very refreshing. Yes. And really the way it should be.
Is this why another just thing that you had told the Times that really jumped out at me when I read this piece, you said that you're not all that concerned about whether new projects work out, and some of them didn't.
Well, I'm not afraid of failure.
Yeah.
I'm not. People are so afraid because, you know what, if something doesn't work out, you look at it and say, okay, that was fun. That was interesting. Okay, this is why it didn't work, because I always like to learn from it. This is what I would have done differently if I could. But you know what? Now at least I have time to do something else.
Do you think that not being afraid of something failing actually gives it a better chance at success?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that we all have different personalities, and some people are so worried about every little thing, or they've put every nickel in their business. So I can't really say that, but I do think that who knows why certain things succeed and certain things don't.
Though, then I floated my hypothesis about fear of failure to her, which is this: if you do not have a fear of failure, then you're willing to engage with ideas that feel riskier or that might feel outside the bounds of what feels possible based on whatever your limited vision of possibility is. And so if you don't have the fear of failure, you are willing to try something that might be so crazy that it might go big. And she agreed with me, which led into a conversation about how she got into the supplements business with her new brand, Evolution 18.
Well, when I left Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, it was October, and you know what I was going to do. See what it's like to walk out and just realize everything I've been doing doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, I know. This is an extremely frustrating time for Skype's connection to just start getting really crappy. But anyway, stick with it, because it's just so interesting to hear what it's like when somebody leaves their own billion-dollar company.
And it was, I'm not going to say it was freeing. It was like, oh shit, now what?
Yeah.
And the first opportunity that came to me was really my husband that said, I've got this property. Would you work on the hotel? And I was like, okay. And then another, I need to work on Lord & Taylor. Would you do a curated Just Bobbi shop? I said, okay. And then the third thing was I had to promote my book called Beauty from the Inside Out, which was my 9th book. And I went on book tour. And during that tour, someone reached out to me and said, we'd love you to do a line of supplements for us. It was QVC. And I was like, okay, how would I do that? And that's when I really kind of started to think about it and put together this Bobbi vision of what I thought the product should be. We launched literally the same week. We launched Evolution 18 in April. We launched the George Hotel in April. And then we launched JustBobbi.com, my editorial site, all at once. Not strategically anything. That's just when we finished each project. And we did it. And then it was pretty good for, 6 months. And then Walmart came to us. Okay, what would you do for us? And that's when I was like, wow, this is a cool opportunity. And we did the Walmart. And we launched 1,000 doors in September. They're going to be opening, will it be in 3,000 doors? And it's been a very interesting ride.
Does it feel totally different? You were at a company for 25 years, and now you're doing, and when you're doing something for that long, I imagine you really start to define yourself by it. And now you're working in like these completely other things, supplements and lodging. And Was there is it disorienting? Did it take time to think of yourself differently?
No, it's honestly no different, because what I do is I am someone that, you know, thinks about a project, thinks about what it is, how it could be better, and how to curate it, how to Instagram it, how to visualize it. So it's actually very, very similar. And doing the Evolution 18, it was the same as I did when I was creating colors for the season or product categories, you know, that you just make things up. An entrepreneur really is just someone that likes to make things up and likes to get them done. So it's not that different. I also been given an opportunity to have a podcast with VaynerMedia, Gary Vaynerchuk's company. And I don't know anything about interviewing people, but I'm really curious. And so we call the podcast Long Story Short. I don't prep. I go into a room. I look at this paper they give me and I just talk to the person. And like anyone from Mickey Drexler to Jeff Rader to Joey Fatone, I've had all these weird, interesting people on the show. And I just think people are fascinating. And I just ask a lot of questions.
That's the way to do it. as someone who's done this for a living.
Well, I'm not the smartest in the room, but I'm sure the most curious.
Which is what, I mean, you know, the thing about interviewing is that if you have a list of questions in front of you, then you're not going to be listening to what they're saying and you're not going to come up with a follow-up question. And the death of conversation is pre-written questions.
Well, that's good to know, because I don't look at them anyway.
But, you know, there's probably a great business lesson in that too, right? Like, you know, hypothesis. If podcasting had existed at the very beginning of your career, do you think that you would also just walk into a room with no notes and just go? Or did you learn along the way?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Great question.
Ah, since I'm here dispensing interviewing advice first to Bobby, and you see how she reacted to that question, let me just offer you another one. Float theories. This is my favorite interviewing technique. I picked it up from Ira Glass of This American Life. He said it once in some talk that I attended when I was like a college student. Float theories to people. Don't just ask them questions, but like process the information and be like, I have a theory. What do you think of it? Do you do this because of X or Y, whatever? Because even if you're wrong, it just gets them to react in some interesting way. So anyway, back to Bobby's reaction.
No. I mean, the good thing about being experienced and getting older is your confidence get stronger. And honestly, after all these years, people want to know, how do you become confident? The only thing confidence is being comfortable in your skin. And I'm comfortable to make mistakes. I'm comfortable to admit what I don't know. And sometimes I surprise myself of all the things I actually do know of what I learned, you know, really on the job training. So it's really, and I know I say, you know, too much, so I'm trying not to do that, but
yeah,
it's, yeah, it is a key, but I find that I like doing things now that I have no idea how to do because it's what keeps things interesting for me.
And what you've done over your career, which is what people need to do if they want to develop that confidence, is you have proven to yourself that you can just walk into a room and come up with an idea. If people need to see themselves do it before they can believe that they can do it.
Well, I know that I need to walk into a room and be comfortable in what I'm wearing and be comfortable with what I know and be comfortable what I don't know. I don't mind sitting in a room with people that are smarter than me because I get to learn things. But I also know when sometimes I listen to all this education, it's not as smart as people that are just innately smart on other things. And there's rooms for both of us in any kind of situation. So I just think it's interesting not knowing things if you're not afraid to ask questions and say, wait, what do you mean? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because people would rather you ask the question and learn it than pretend that you know it and don't.
Right, exactly. And for some reason, people think that being a successful entrepreneur, you have the fairy dust. Just sprinkle some on me. And it's like, guys, what I have is that I just keep going forward. I put one shoe on, then the other shoe, and I just keep going forward. And I'm relentless. You got to be relentless if you're an entrepreneur. You can't stop.
Though, that is a perfectly good place to stop for today. So there is Bobby Brown's philosophy on doing. I mean, listen, it is in some way as simple as saying, go do. But of course, it's more than that. It's internalizing doing. It's feeling like, It's not just doing once, it's doing over and over and over again and constantly reinventing and redoing and rethinking and being okay in that constant state of action. You want to do, then you go do, and you 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 do. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.